regarding Princeton Street, I think that's what it's called, where I have relatives that are interested in that parcel of land.
So that is item 10, in item 10.2. Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I'd like to disclose a pecuniary interest in report PDS 57-2016. That is dealing with the Tykalis Holdings, and the company I'm working for is negotiating with Tykalis.
Correct. And yes, and I have that, I have to declare pecuniary interest with respect to that report as well. And Councillor Butler, I'm noticing that you may want to comment on that as well.
Yes, I have a conflict of interest as well as my company does business with that company.
Are there any other disclosures? So when we get to the report PDS 57-2016, we'll deal with that after we've dealt with the rest of the consent agenda items. And since we're going to be going then to planning and development services, I believe that's Councillor McDermott. Are you on that? You're the chair of that? So then what we'll do is we'll have you deal with PDS 57, and then Sharon will move into planning and development services when we get there. Okay, so that's kind of the roadmap. There are no public notices this evening, and there is one public meeting, and that relates to a property rezoning at 780 Ridge Road North. And I presume, Mr. Kernahan, you're going to provide us with some background information.
Property located on the east side of Ridge Road North, north of Nye Road, with the municipal address 780 Ridge Road North. The purpose of this application is to permit a boundary adjustment that will have the effect of transferring 5,387 square meters of the subject property to the adjacent property to the south, which is known as 3500 Nye Road. The land that will be transferred to 3500 Nye Road is not a buildable lot and does not have any frontage on a public or private road. This land that will be transferred will be merged with 3500 Nye Road as a condition of a future consent application, and it will be used for amenity purposes and associated with this property. Notification of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act by placing a notice in the June 16, 2016 edition of the Fort Erie Times newspaper. In addition, property owners living within 120 meters were provided notice through regular mail on this date. This is an aerial photograph of the subject property as well as the surrounding area. Subject lands are located just northeast of the Ridgeway Thunder Bay neighborhood. Land uses surrounding the subject property include the following. To the north, there's a woodlot. To the south is Nye Road and rural residential land uses. To the east is a woodlot. And to the west is Ridge Road North and more rural residential land uses. The official plan designates the subject lands as rural residential and environmental conservation. The proposed boundary adjustment is minor in nature, and the resultant lot area will and existing lot frontage are consistent with the official plan policies for rural residential lots. This slide shows the natural heritage features on and in the vicinity of the subject property as identified in the official plan. Subject property is part of a locally significant natural area that is that is a woodlot over 2 hectares and is within a potential natural heritage corridor. Given that this proposal is for a technical boundary adjustment only and that the area of land in question will not be developed and only used as amenity area, the proposal does not offend the natural heritage policies of the official plan. Property is currently zoned site-specific rural residential, RR-248, in the town's comprehensive zoning bylaw. This site-specific regulation limits the minimum lot area to the existing lot area and the minimum lot frontage to the existing lot frontage. The site-specific zoning was applied to the property at the time this lot was created back in 2001. The intent of the zoning at that time was to limit any further division of the property without prior council approval. The applicant has requested permission to amend the zoning to recognize the following site-specific deficiencies. To lot frontage, they're requesting 60.96 meters of frontage, whereas the current site-specific zoning requires 61 meters. And to lot area, the applicant is requesting 2,279 square meters, whereas the current site-specific zoning requires 2,870 square meters. Portion of the subject property that will be transferred to 3500 Nye Road will be rezoned to the same site-specific RR-249 as 3500 Nye Road currently has. This is the site plan for the subject property. The area shown as part four on this site plan will be transferred to the adjoining property to the south, which is shown as part one, plan 59R-11623. This property will be used for amenity purposes in conjunction with the other amenity areas on the property known as 3500 Nye Road. Part four will be rezoned to the same zoning as 3500 Nye Road, as I just mentioned. The area shown as part three is 780 Ridge Road North. This property will be retained by the current owner and is proposed to be rezoned to a site-specific rural residential zoning to permit the reduced lot area and frontage. This property will continue to be used for rural residential purposes. This is a view of the subject property looking east from Ridge Road North. And this graphic summarizes the application timeline. Pre-consultation on this application was completed in January of this year. The application was deemed complete on June 13th, 2016. A neighborhood meeting was held on June 28th. No one attended this neighborhood meeting. Notice of this public meeting was provided on June 16th. And because no one attended the neighborhood information meeting and no one has expressed interest on the application to date, staff are able to process the application as a minor application and bring forward a recommendation on the same date of the public meeting, which is tonight. This graphic shows the next steps for this application moving forward. The next step is to bring forward a bylaw to council. Because of the town's official plan policy that requires a minimum of 14 days between the public meeting and when council considers a bylaw, and because of council's summer schedule, a bylaw cannot be brought forward until August 22nd at the council meeting on that date. Following this, a notice of appeal will be issued and the 20-day appeal period will commence. Provided no appeals are received, the zoning will be in place in early September and the transfer of land will be able to occur at that time. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kernahan. Any members of council have any questions? I just had a couple with respect to slide number three, which refers to the property to the north. Slide number three.
That's three.
Three. The property to the north is referred to as 750 Ridge Road. Property to the south is 780, 768, 740. How did that get to be 750? And is that accurate?
This map is accurate. Those are the addresses. As for how the process that we go through in assigning municipal addresses, that's not something I can answer for you. Perhaps Mr. Hayworth, who's...
Well, that's fine. It's just that it seems to me that for something like fire services, that might be a little confusing, and I'm wondering whether we shouldn't be looking at, that's another topic, it's not this topic, I'm wondering if we shouldn't be looking at changing the address number of that property. Anyways, I'll leave that with the chief. The second question that I had relates to slide seven, and there's a reference there to parts one and two, and part two is going to be transferred, and I believe part one is to be transferred as well. So is part one becoming part of the main parcel, part three?
These two, part one and part two, are the subject of a separate boundary adjustment. They're of identical size, which is why they're not subject to a zoning amendment, because they neither reduce or increase the size of the lot. And that transfer is occurring between part three and part five to the north.
Okay, and then the other point that I would make to you is that we could hold a special council meeting on August the 8th. That would fulfill the requirement for 14 days. So I'll speak to the clerk about that afterwards.
Okay.
If there are no other questions, then I... Sorry, Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicup. Mr. Kernahan, looking at slide 7, and then if we look at... I'm looking at the part 1, I think it would be on Nye Road, that says Plan 59R11823. Is that the property that that this is going to be transferred to?
Yes, that's 3500 Nye Road, described in a different way.
Well, when I'm looking at this here drawing here, and then if you go back to slide 3, if you look at this drawing here, slide 3 shows the yellow line in the corner as joining the black line at 3500. But in slide 7, it shows that there's like a little offset and joggle. Am I not reading this right? If you go back, see this corner. See right the corner there?
Yes, so there will be a...
Part 4 comes straight down, and then there's that like a little piece that's... Those...
Right.
The Nye Road address is going to have a piece that's going to go to the, I guess it would be the east. Or
that's
go to
correct.
The west, rather, right?
Approximately 13 meters, yes. So approximately 13 meters.
But on slide 3, it doesn't show it that way. It shows a straight line, doesn't
slide,
it?
Slide 3 is showing the boundary of 780 Ridge Road North as it exists today. That boundary will... change following the land swap and include a approximately 13 meter wide strip to the west of 3500 Nye Road, as well as the portion north of 3500 Nye Road to the northern boundary of 780 Ridge Road North.
All right, okay, so this is just showing us 780 Ridge Road, and then the other slide showing us what the transfer will look like.
That's correct.
So this will have that piece cut out. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Kernahan. And then ordinarily we would permit the owner or the agent of the owner to speak with respect to the application. I see, Mr. Regal, that you're here. I don't know if Mr. Pizzoni is here. I don't see him. Would you like to speak or address council with respect to this? Please come forward. And for the record, you are Marv Regal, the owner of the property.
The only comments I have to make is that everything that has been discussed tonight is 100% accurate. I think all the questions by this gentleman here has been answered, and I'm very pleased with the progress that has been made, and I have no further questions.
Thank you. Any members of council have any questions of Mr. Regal? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who wishes to address council with respect to this matter, either for or against the application? There are none, then I'm going to declare this public meeting closed. And Mr. Regal, we will be dealing with the report later on in the agenda. You're free to stick around if you wish, or you can have staff advise you what occurs. But there is a recommendation report with respect to this matter on our agenda. Okay? So then that takes us to the consent agenda, and at least PDS 57-2016 has to be removed. Are there any other reports that anyone wishes to have removed from the consent agenda? If not, then I'll entertain a motion to move the bulk of the consent agenda items less PDS 57. Councillor Passero, are there any questions or comments with respect to any of these reports? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicop. On report PDS 56-2016 on page 4.
Yes.
Yes, on page four, it's, I guess it would be second last paragraph, the last sentence in there. I'm just, I'm a little confused as to what it means by only if backed from the boulevard. Right at the end of the sentence. It says, most would envision mixed-use types of buildings along the boulevard, but potential for some residential only if backed from the boulevard.
Mr. Miller, yeah.
Would you like to address that, please?
Certainly, through Mr. Mayor, to Councilor Lubert. I think what's intended in my statement there is that the boulevard itself would be showcasing a mixed-use environment, commercial, exposed to the boulevard side with residential above, but back from the boulevard, you may see strictly residential type of medium-density uses. So that was the intention there. The statement is just to clarify that if there is to be any intensification, of course, we'll work that out through the process. But what the committee or what the focus groups and the staff through their strategic sessions were envisioning were mixed use along the boulevard and then some residential intensification of purely residential nature tucked in behind. So that's what was intended to be described there.
So that would be between the boulevard and the back street that's parallel?
Yeah, to the boulevard, I mean, the actual limitations or limits haven't been refined, but just in the vision of it, commercial activity and stuff along the grade and potentially some just strictly residential buildings of intensification behind that as you get away from the boulevard. The residential being closer to the river to support the commercial activity and just close to the amenity of the river itself.
That's a good explanation. Just for me, when I was reading through the report, I noticed that some of the concerns that they had was the fact that we don't own the boulevard, the waterfront, the water's edge, that's Niagara Parks Commission, and there's a problem with that. Now, have we discussed any of this here with the Niagara Parks Commission, and are they on board with some of the visions that were created by the focus group?
Mr. Miller?
Through you, Mayor Redekop, to Councillor Lubertz, we have set up meetings to speak with them and get on the same page and explore what we can do, what they're going to give us grief with, and those types of things. So we are entering those stages of discussion to see how we can work together and come to consensus on putting plans together and doing that with little resistance.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other councillors with respect to this report? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Also on PDS 56 2016, I just want to thank the members of both sessions, both the staff component as well as the focus group that staff have assembled. Both were very well attended, a lot of good contributions. Mr. Miller has, I think, captured the essence of those meetings quite well in this report. Very well done. Great synopsis of what took place and looking forward to the next steps. Already we're seeing four or five major themes rise to the top, and I look forward to my colleagues on council's commitments and hopefully their cooperation as we try to implement some of these once they do bear fruit at the end of this process. Thank you.
Councillor Nutt, did you want Mr. Miller back?
Yes, Your Worship.
Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Reading through the report, excellent work. Well done again. I just had one question. Are we going to send a copy of this to the Peace Bridge Authority? I see that our designated area for the south end abuts the Customs Plaza. So I was just wondering, much in the way that Councilor Lubers was asking, if we're going to be engaging the MPC, would we also engage the Peace Bridge Authority?
Yes, we will. Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Lott. Yes, they'll be at the table when we have a meeting planned and we're going to get together and have initial discussions on what's been brought through this process to date and how we can take it forward from there with their involvement. So yes, they'll be involved.
Before you go, Mr. Miller, any other questions with respect to this report? I just have a couple. The first has to do with the Niagara Parks Commission. What is the level of their involvement so far in this process?
Other than the fact that they've been notified that the process is initiated, we haven't met, or I have not sat, or our staff has not sat with them on what we're intending. We haven't really got the vision here. What we have is our foundations for the secondary plan. We have a lot of engagement to go through publicly with residents. So as we get through that, we'll be starting the circulations where all of the agencies will be engaged, with policies coming forward. Here's what we're writing. They'll respond. So we are at the beginning.
So that's to come.
That'll definitely come.
And you did mention vision, and I see that there's a bit of a difference of views of the vision between staff and the focus group. And I see that that's an issue that's going to be resolved at the next meeting.
My response is that I didn't see that. I see that the vision was between the staff and the focus was very close. I was surprised that they were sharing that, and they both had, the same priorities. They want that to the waterfront to be the focus of this secondary plan, to see it, rejuvenated, to see that's where the intensification goes, to make sure that it's the jewel in that community down along there. They have a wonderful natural asset, and I believe that they would like to make use of it and make it a place to be, invite people to.
Perhaps it was just the wording of the two that
I tried to use
has
color.
To be reconciled.
Yeah, I tried to use color just to show similarities in the two groups, so that you can quickly say, okay, well, that's what this staff said, and this is very similar. That's what the group had said. So I was trying to put it together with the color.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Miller. Any other councillors have any questions of any of the items in the package? Councillor Lubritz. Thank you very much, Mr. Miller.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. The Creekside Estate Draft Plan Approval, the extension, PDS 58-2016, on page 2. Again, last paragraph. Can I just get an explanation? When I'm reading through this, I see that there was an extension approved, but it doesn't mention anything about the amendments. And then staff gave a temporary approval for an extension and to cover the appeal period for the amendments. Can I get an explanation of what the amendments are? I don't remember the amendments coming to council.
Mr. Brady, can you address that, please?
Yes, sir, to Councilor Lubritz. Staff can provide what we refer to as emergency or temporary extensions to draft plan approval so that it doesn't lapse by the time a report comes to council. So that's why in this particular case that was done in terms of the negotiations with the municipality. So the draft plan, as it's moving forward, is now in front of council. And if you look on page 4 of the report, there's discussions of clearing some conditions, and there's a condition number 30 be cleared by the town, not by the NPCA. So there are some changes to the original draft plan which are being proposed.
Councillor Lubritz.
Well, that's the amendments that we're talking about on page?
Correct.
3 and page 4, and that there is the ones that NPCA, those are outstanding, or has there been some changes to them?
NPCA staff note that the organization is responsible for clearing conditions 20, 22, 28, 31, 32, and 33. So they're restating the fact that they are the ones who will be dealing with that. And the comments also note that condition 30 should be cleared by the town, not by the NPCA.
Oh, and those are the amendments
yep.
that were made? Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. That's it for that report. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on this report? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Regarding IS 23-2016, the tender for the Thunder Bay Road Storm Drainage, it makes reference to work that was done at Thunder Bay or Bernard Beach to try and improve the conditions of the beach itself. And I'm just wondering if we've noticed a marked difference in the condition there since those works were done.
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe the conditions have improved. We do not get the beach washouts that we did prior to the implementation of the improvements. That's based on a very short time span, the fall and winter works. As you know, we've had a fairly dry spring and summer, so I think full results are still to be determined.
Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. So I will wait for Councillor Butler's report when she's down there in her galoshes during the first heavy rainfall.
I think if I might, Councillor Passero, since
yes,
we're
please.
On IS-23, I was thinking we should stick with the other one, but since we're on IS-23, Mr. Walsh, I'm just concerned about what appears to be additional storm water being directed towards the Bernard.
Mr. Mayor, the original design of the storage facility accounted for this water. So it's not additional as per the design, it's additional as per the phasing.
Well, it's additional as per the reality that although the design may have been created to accommodate this additional flow, now the additional flow is going to be arriving if this is constructed, which means there's going to be more water, which means if we had problems before, which we think we've now addressed, have we actually addressed this additional flow?
With the routing of the ditches, we're not getting more water. It's still the same water that's going to this facility, just at a different time frame.
So we can be assured that, and you're right, it has been a very dry summer. And so I would imagine that the beach is faring well this summer. But what you're saying is that we shouldn't be concerned that there will be any additional water flows because we're already going there now. It's just that we're going to be improving the drainage system itself.
With the improvements that were made to the storage facility, it's now meant to release the water that it stores more slowly. It's more of a throttled exit than previously.
And that's not actually responsive to my question, which was, I think what you said before is we shouldn't be expecting that there'll be more water arriving because the drainage system already provides all of this water that's arriving to arrive there. All we're doing is making some improvements to the quality of the drainage system, but we're not going to be increasing the flow. I think that's what I heard.
That's correct.
So that when this work is all done, there should be absolutely no difference in the flow of water.
I would expect a little more because the water gets there sooner, but the primary goal of this project is to address flooding in the upstream areas of Thunder Bay. The first two phases have improved the situation immensely. These are the final two phases of the project foreseen back in 2007. So I would expect vast improvements in that area. There's still minor flooding that occurs during heavy rainfall. This should address those issues completely.
Well, I understand that, and I know why the drainage work was embarked upon in Thunder Bay several years ago, and that was because of the flooding issues. But I wouldn't have anticipated that the SAW-off would have been improved drainage, less flooding experienced by the residents, but regular damage to a beach. And that's my concern. I'm concerned that we're going to be exacerbating the situation through these drainage works, because as you say, it may not be an increased flow, but if the flow gets there faster, that means that the holding facility is going to have more water to deal with in a shorter period of time. And my understanding is that's why we've had the beach being washed out.
And the adjustments we made to the holding facility in the fall addressed the flow through of the water. We've throttled that back so that water comes out slower.
See, I didn't see that last fall after the work was done. I didn't see that. I saw beach still being washed out. Councillor Butler, you had your hand up. I know you're very familiar with this beach.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, you're absolutely right. Even though the work was done last year, there was still considerable amount of wash through on the beach. So the beach was consistently wet. It was washed out. It was a lot better than what it was, mind you. And my concern is that though we did have a dry summer, even though it's going to be throttled, that if we have a wet summer next year, that we're going to have a recurring problem. So my question would be to you, is there a plan in place that we can put in place if that does happen?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, when this project was taken to the public, one of the side effects of the project was that you would likely see a wet beach all the time. With respect to actions going forward, we always monitor our capital projects for successes and failures. And if modifications need to be made, we take appropriate steps.
So my next question to you then would be, currently, I mean, we haven't seen it very much this year, but late fall after the repairs were done, we still saw a ditch-like formation when the water ran through. And if that continues next year, we can do something about that then. Is that correct? That's what I'm hearing. If that's part of the solution that we can put forward. If the beach is always going to be wet and there's absolutely nothing we can do about that, which I find strange, at least we can recover some of the beach and not lose it to a
ditch. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. The washout now occurs much closer to the water where it has a chance to rehabilitate itself. The previous washouts were up near the edge of the developments, the walls. It's now 30 yards downstream. So we're not seeing the washouts from the previous location. The washouts are smaller, closer to the water, and they repair themselves faster and more naturally.
Councilor Butler?
I think it's just something that we're just going to have to watch for and see what happens in the months prevailing.
I think I'd like to have, Madam Clerk, can I still have this removed from the agenda, the consent agenda, and deal with it separately?
Yes, Your Worship.
I think I'd like to deal with this separately. So we're going to come back to this in case councillors have other questions. I'm not sure that we... Okay, we'll deal with that. Councillor Lubritz, did you want to speak to this when we get to it later on?
Yes, and I'd like to ask some other questions on other items on this in the consent agenda.
Okay, so why don't we go back to 58, PDS 58, which is where you were, and that was the extension. I had a couple of questions of Mr. Brady. I think you can possibly answer them. One has a reference to the developer, among other things, determining available lot inventory. What exactly does that mean? Should I direct this to Ms. Dolch?
Fine. You can certainly direct it to me. That's fine. It's simply, to answer your question, Mayor, it's a comment upon the what the developer has said is that he's looking at the inventory of developable lots, and on that basis, he's making decisions.
I see. So that's something that assists him in terms of marketing, I suppose?
It assists him in terms of marketing, but also in terms of market uptake.
Right. And I noticed that the cost or the fee for applying for an extension to the town is $870, but to the region it's $1,000. I would have thought that the municipality ends up doing more work in connection with one of these extensions. Do you have a comment on that?
I believe you're correct in your view.
Okay. Thank you. Councilor Lubritz, back to you. You had some other questions.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Staying on the same report, just reading this over again and again, I'm still confused over this appeal period. We approved the extension in 2014, to April 11, 2016. How long is the appeal period for? Because now that we have these amendments, who knew about the amendments and who has the right to appeal?
Mr. Brady? Ms. Dolch?
Thank you, Your Worship. So the appeal period is a 20-day appeal period.
How many?
20 days. 20-day appeal period. And normally, we notify those parties that ask for changes of conditions, or agencies who ask for conditions originally, will notify them of the changes of conditions, all the parties applicable to those comments and conditions.
Councilor Lubitz?
So all the neighbors that were here for that meeting, they were all notified, and all the people that, because I remember there was a lot of people on Nye Road that came to that meeting. They were worried about Beaver Creek and the flooding of Beaver Creek and different things. They were all notified?
Ms. Dolch?
Through you to the councilor. No, not in terms of the amended conditions, no. This is just dealt through. There's no public participation portion. It's just dealt with through town council.
Councilor Lubitz?
So only town council has the authority, has the ability to make an appeal?
Town council and the agencies that are involved in the change of conditions.
Well, why would it be that at the public meeting in the beginning back in 2014, these people had 20 days to appeal at that time, and now they make amendments and now they don't have an opportunity to appeal?
Ms. Dolch, maybe
that's my confusion.
Ms. Dolch, maybe you could just back up and kind of explain what the procedure is, what it is the residents can appeal, how the conditions come into existence, and maybe that will assist.
Through you to the councillor. So what we're looking at here is obviously the subdivision was approved way back when, the actual subdivision and the conditions. So that's where the public came out and commented, had concerns. We addressed those concerns. There was minutes of settlement that were reached at a board hearing to deal with those. Now, as we move forward, sometimes changes to conditions have to happen where there's an agency that no longer requires clearances or things like that, where we can remove conditions, add conditions, depending on what they are. The actual approval itself hasn't changed. Like, there's no changes to the plan or the concepts or anything like that, just the actual details of the conditions. For example, in this case, the NPCA is no longer the clearing authority, the town is. Sometimes we have a name change, whereas it's the Ministry of instead of the Ministry of Environment, it's the Ministry of Environment and Climate Change. But we have to amend the conditions based on their titles.
Councilor Lubitz?
Okay, I get that now. So then if you discuss this with all the parties and everybody knows where everybody stands, then why would there even be an appeal? I don't understand why there's an appeal period.
It's just a general process. So say, for example, council decided to take out 7 of the conditions tonight. Some may have to do with the NPCA's involvement. Say council decided to take out all the NPCA conditions. We have to give the NPCA the ability to appeal your decision.
Conversely, council,
so we have the opportunity to appeal NPCA's decision not to be the authority on these here conditions, the 20.
No. So what Ms. Dolch is saying is that the conditions of draft plan approval have been established. If we now as a council decide to change any of those, whichever parties are affected are entitled to notice and they're entitled to appeal. So it could be the conservation authority, it could be the owner. We could decide we want to add an additional condition, in which case the owner may not agree and the owner could appeal that to the OMB.
Yes, I understand it, but Mr. Brady just said earlier that on page 4, the NPCA is noting these conditions, 20, 22, 28, 31, 32, and 33. And so now what you're saying is if we didn't agree with this, then we could appeal.
No. Those are conditions that have already been established. They're in the schedule. They're in the appendix that outlines all the conditions. The report makes reference to those conditions as being conditions that the Conservation Authority has asked to be included. They were included at the time the plan was approved, and they're responsible for clearing them. That is, they tell the owner, the developer, when those conditions have been met. There's one condition that they requested, and at the time the draft plan was approved, the conservation authority would have been the clearing authority. Now it's the municipality. The jurisdictional responsibility for that item has changed, and so now it's the municipality.
But I'm not reading that here and here. What I'm reading here is the NPCA is saying that these here conditions, they're the organization that are responsible.
That's right.
For clearing these. They're not saying they're not anymore. They are the ones, and what they're saying is they haven't gotten anything from the developer since way back when.
That's right. And none of these conditions have been cleared.
So they're saying that it's outstanding.
None of these
yet
conditions.
Yet we're giving approval for extension with outstanding issues. And why are we giving extensions if the developer isn't coming forward with his conditions that he has to meet with NPCA?
Councillor Lubertz, the reason the developer is asking for an extension is because there are a variety of conditions that it has not yet met. It has to meet all these conditions before the plan can be registered. They have to do that within a certain period of time. If they haven't been able to clear these conditions within that period of time, either the draft approval lapses or they can request an extension, which is what's been done. So they're asking for it to be extended. None of those conditions typically are changed. If they are changed, then we have an obligation to give notice to the party that's affected.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, here's my next question then. If you go back to page 2, right, council approved a 2-year extension in 2014. So that gave them 2 years to meet all the conditions. And now they're coming back for the same conditions that were there in 2014 and asking for an extension because they didn't do it. But in here, there's no timeline. Do they have a timeline of when they're going to have these conditions met and how and when this is all going to be cleared up? Because I can see that 2 years from now, they're going to say, well, we didn't get it done, so we want another extension. And
Councillor Lubertz, so that's what's being asked. And the report is recommending that the draft plan approval be extended for 2 years.
Yes. Now, does the developer have a timeline when he's going to meet these conditions with the NPCA?
2 years.
He will have them done in 2 years? Or is he just asking for an extension because these haven't been done? I'm not reading that in this report.
He doesn't have, if the developer hasn't met those conditions in 2 years, then the approval will lapse or the developer can ask for an extension, and we're in the same position we're in now. We can either agree or disagree or reduce
yes,
the...
I understand that, Mayor Redekop, and we've gone through this with other extensions, and you have been the one that says to our staff, well, maybe we should tell these people that, hey, we've given you extensions, and we need something done. We need to see that you're moving forward and getting these things taken care of.
That's right.
And I'm asking the same thing tonight. And there is no timeline. They're just saying, please give us an extension for 2 years because these conditions haven't been met. And now, 2 years from now, if they didn't finish, they'll say, well, give us another extension for 2 years. I think we should have a timeline.
Well, there is a timeline, and you can also vote against it. If you don't agree with it, you can vote against it. Mr. Brady, you had your hand up.
Thank you. Thank you for that. There's a couple of things that council can do. We've identified it in the alternatives. If you turn to the page 4, if council chooses, they may simply deny the extension of the draft plan approval, or council may approve, as it goes on, a lesser extension. It also could say council can approve a longer extension, but that's not one that we've identified. So what we're recommending is that they be extended for 2 years, but if council believes that this should have been dealt with more expeditiously, they can either deny the extension, which would be subject to an appeal, or they could change the 2-year extension to something shorter, for example, 1 year.
Councillor Lubertz, back to you.
So if we deny an extension, they can appeal it.
Right.
Then why ask for the extension?
Because if we grant it, then they've been given the extension and they have 2 years within which to, or whatever period we allow, within which to work at meeting these various conditions of draft approval.
Well, maybe staff can speak to the developer and ask the developer, do they have a timeline when they expect that these here conditions will be met? because it seems to me that that's the problem that we're having here. And I can see looking at the extension. I understand what you're saying, Mayor Redekop, but it still doesn't satisfy the report. You're asking for an extension, and I understand why you're asking for that extension, but you had 2 years to get this done, and you didn't get it done in 2 years. And it seems to me, being on council now for 6 years, this is a trend. It's just a constant extension. We had one 18 years they were asking for extensions.
Any other reports that anyone has any questions on? Councilor Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. IS-20-2016, page 4. When I read through the report, there was, under conclusions, you'll see that there's infiltration to the sanitary sewer system. This is a $3.7 million issue annually to the town. And my question is there some way that we can educate the people to let them know that, you know, we keep hearing about water rates and the cost of water. And if this was a $3.7 million issue, this could drastically reduce the water rates in the town of Fort Erie because we have to be revenue neutral. And what would the impact be on the taxpayer, right, the ratepayer for water rates, if even if we took this in half? Maybe Mr. Jansen can take a look at something like that.
Have the ability to comment on that? It's definitely something that we should have available to us when we start getting into the budget meeting.
Yeah, through the mayor to the councillor. Director Walsh can correct me if there is a specific reference to the amount, but yes, that is something we can quantify during the budget time as well.
Councillor Lubertz?
Yes, thank you very much, because I think it's something that we need to bring to the taxpayer and need to bring to the ratepayer, because I know sometimes they don't want to get their neighbor in trouble because their neighbor might be putting their gutters and their eTrav water right into the sewers. But letting them know that these problems and these extraneous flow problems are costing $3.7 million a year, maybe when we explain it to them that you might not want to say anything about things that you know are out there, but now that you know it's a $3 million problem, they might start thinking twice about coming forward and letting us know when they notice a problem.
Anything further on this, Councilor Lubertz?
No, thank you very much.
Other councilors on this? Mr. Jansen, do you have an idea roughly what the total amount is that we pay the region annually for treating wastewater? You've indicated 3.7 million, or this report says 3.7 million is for extraneous flows. What would the total amount be?
Not being in budget season, I don't know what that number would be. I think we're looking at about $7 to $8 million is what Director of Infrastructure is saying, but I think that's the total of all treatment costs. Do you want to comment on that, Kelly?
Mr. Walsh?
Well, that's just wastewater treatment costs. It's about $8.5 million a year.
All right, so we're talking 40% of what we're spending is going on infiltrations into the system.
That's correct.
And of that, do we have any idea of how much would be infiltrating the regional sewer mains, the ones that we don't have responsibility for, but we end up paying the cost of treatment for?
No, we don't.
Has there been any discussion about looking into that aspect, perhaps doing an audit on the system?
Mr. Mayor, we have not had that discussion. It would require a comprehensive flow monitoring project. Right now, we have our own flow monitors that we throw in strategic sewers to monitor flows and determine the rate of extraneous flow. One of the things that we do to help us qualify for the Region CSO program grants is do a pre and post construction flow monitoring. But getting back to your question, it could be undertaken. The region, I do not believe, has approached any municipality with that right now, but it's certainly something we could talk to them about.
Well, I keep thinking about comments like Fort Erie and Port Colborne, as an example, have a high water table. The high water table, if that's a factor at all, would also be a factor in terms of the region's sewer mains. In fact, would probably be a bigger factor because they have bigger mains and they're probably at greater depths. At greater depths?
They're certainly at greater depths and they have larger mains, but I think when you're calculating, I'm going to get all technical here, when you're calculating extraneous flow, it's the surface area of the sewer mains, and I believe we have significantly more surface area.
Right, and that would make sense. In terms of the report itself, it makes reference to the Ministry of the Environment having allowances for extraneous flows, but doesn't really indicate in the report what those tolerances are, what those allowances are. Would you know that?
10%.
10%. So we're significantly beyond that.
That's correct, yeah.
And in terms of the wastewater that arrives at the Anger Avenue treatment plant or the Crystal Beach treatment plant, my understanding is that there are meters that count the flows.
That's correct.
And how frequently are those checked for accuracy?
Calibrated and verified? I do not know that answer.
That's something that we should be looking into?
Certainly we can, similar to the non-revenue water meters issue with the region.
Right, and that was another question that I had for the next report, because it looks to me like we're suffering as well a similar charge for unbillable water, whether it's unaccounted for, whether it's something that we know we can't charge for, whether it's fire fighting or what have you. Looks to me like that's 40% as well, and my questions would be similar in terms. It is. I've done the calculation, and it seems to me that, again, the metering would be an issue. I know that Mr. Boutin has spoken about zone metering to assist us in determining where unaccounted water might be. I know that there's some metering that's being done at the region in conjunction with some municipalities, and that's, again, I think something that I believe we're looking into. But these are large numbers, and as Councillor Lubritz has pointed out, these numbers, if we can reduce any of these costs, that can go to upgrading our infrastructure, number one, or number two, maintaining the line on increased costs. More importantly, right now we've got large infrastructure costs that we need to manage. Does anybody have any questions arising out of that? If none, are there any other questions with respect to the items in the consent agenda package that are left? Councillor Lubritz?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I think now that there was the extraneous flow, but the other report, the non-revenue water remedial plan,
right.
And I think that there just kind of segues into the into this year report from the last report. And on page 2 of the non-revenue water report, IS-21-2016, is that the right one?
Yeah. Yes.
On page 2, the unavoidable annual real losses, again, the last paragraph on page 2, it says these losses are attributed to leakage that is likely undetectable. I'm not saying all of them, but some of them. And I'm just wondering, when when you, I had to combine the two reports together because of what they were saying in the last report and what they're saying in this report. And there's allowances for leakage. And when the region does their billing to the municipality, are they taking this into consideration, or are they commenting or compensating the town for this leakage that is undetectable?
My understanding is that there's a meter at the Rose Hill Water Treatment Plant, and when the water goes out of that plant and it heads into Fort Erie, we start to pay. Mr. Waltz, is there some refinement to that understanding?
That's it in a nutshell.
So if it's lost at some point along the line between the Rose Hill Water Treatment Plant and anybody's home, we're paying. Anything further, Councilor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much. On page 3, second paragraph this time, it goes on to the, it talks about the meters. And they calibrate the instrumentation of the meters annually. And those meters have never been verified, and the region does not want to undertake this exercise as it would entail taking one of the two meters out of service. So when I'm reading this, it sounds to me like they have two meters. And if they want to verify their instrumentation calibration, they would have to take a meter out. And that system would not be working, and therefore the water would just flow freely, and they would not, it wouldn't be metered.
Mr. Walsh, can you comment on that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Councilor, that's an incorrect statement. The Rose Hill Treatment Plant has two feeds out of the plant into the Fort Erie system. The second feed was engineered by a very smart engineer back in the mid-2000s, I believe. And the plant is set up such that one feed can be shut down and the town can be fed through the other feed and still maintain full capacity.
So then there's no reason why they couldn't, we couldn't test these meters?
The region's reason for not testing them is they say there is nobody in North America that can test these. I disagree with that statement.
Right. Mr. Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much. And just following up on that comment, why would you buy a meter that you can't calibrate or you can't verify? I mean, to me, it doesn't sound like that would be legal to the residents in the municipality that they couldn't verify that their meters are accurate. I don't believe they can do that with hydrometers. I don't believe they can do that with gas pumps at the gas stations. Somehow it has to be verified that what you're telling me is accurate. So maybe we need to talk to the region about that. So
Mr. Walsh, I'm thinking that at some point it might be appropriate for this council to address that issue along with several others that have arisen out of these two reports, and perhaps pass a resolution or request the region to be doing some things that we think that reasonable for them to do in order to provide us with the satisfaction that we're actually paying for what we're being billed. Well, no, we're receiving what we're being billed.
Prior to that, I'd like to take a stab at it through public works officials.
That'd be fine. That would be helpful. Councilor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much. And just need some verification on page 4 of the same report under financial and staffing implications. It says, as noted in the table above, water losses account for $1.4 million annually. And referring back to the last report, it says it was $3.7 million annually. Are we talking different water, or are we talking different billing? Or?
Right, one's wastewater and one's treated water that we drink. There are two different reports. The first report dealt with wastewater, so the $3.7 million is what what we believe we're paying to treat water that's really just groundwater that's infiltrated the system. This $1.4 million is for treated water that we believe is being lost between the water treatment plant and the end user.
So if you combine the two at the end of the year, it's a combination of 3.7 plus 1.4, which is like $5 million.
$5.1
million. $5.1 million. And what would the impact of that be on the ratepayer if we could capture some of them problems?
Well, that's something that will come forth at the budget, during the budget process. That's information that we need.
Yes, I understand that it's information that we need at budget process, but can't the ratepayers be notified so that if there's anything that the ratepayer can do to help alleviate this problem, they can start now. They don't have to wait till the budget.
Well, the staff can address that, but in all my years as a lawyer in town, there's been all kinds of efforts to deal with neighbors who have their downspouts leading into the sewer, the sanitary sewer. There have been efforts to require people to allow inspections so that if there's illegal connections. And you know, the public is somewhat resistant to having officials wander into their home. We do have a program, at least we used to have a program, that assists people in paying the cost of disconnecting their leaders for rainwater into the sanitary sewer so that they would be directed towards the storm sewer. So there are some there are a number of things that we're doing, and we can certainly, and perhaps should, this may be something that we can deal with a communications coordinator about, to highlight some of the things that residents could do. But there are some things that, in terms of the lost water, there are some things that we're just not going to recover unless we start metering the, if we have a fire call and we meter that water and then charge that back to the owner of the property. I suppose that's something we could do. You know, other than that, that's lost. There's water that's going to come out if we have a break in the main. There's going to be water lost during that incident. So that's why it's very important for us to have as good infrastructure as we possibly can, because if we can reduce water main breaks, that means we reduce the amount of water that we lose that we still have to pay for.
Yes, I understand all of that, but I'm looking at the average ratepayer that's out there. Now, all of us here tonight, we have this report in our hand, and we read this, and we know all this. I'll bet you there isn't a resident out there that understands and read this here report before this report was brought forward. Now, some people read it because of the meeting, and some people are online reading it, right? And some people are listening to this council meeting, and they're going to go read this now. But on the average, it doesn't get to the general public. It got to us, and we sit here tonight in the chambers, and we try to deal with this. This is information that needs to be out there to the general public so they understand when they're calling about their rates. This is a problem. It's $5 million a year that you're paying and not getting anything for it. And there's nothing we can do about that, but there's something that we can try to do. And those are the things that need to get out there to the general public. I don't think that they are getting out there. And so if we could know what the impact is, I don't know that we have to wait till budget time. What would the impact be today on $5 million of losses? And so that the general public understands this is what goes into your rate. And this is why you're paying the water rates you're paying in Fort Erie. Because of this, we don't have to wait till budget time for that information to come forward.
That's all well and good, Councillor Lewards. I was a member of council in 1991. This is an issue that the municipality has been dealing with since before 1991. And every budget that this municipality has, every budget process, deals with these issues. Every time we deal with water and wastewater, we deal with these issues. That's reported. This can be reported again. We can get the communications coordinator to put something together to help alert the public. But this is not something that just all of a sudden popped up. This is historic, and it's been going on for years. I'd be more interested in, and Mr. Walsh, perhaps you could convey this to Mr. Boutin, I'd be more interested to see what impact we've had over the last 15 years in terms of trying to reduce extraneous flows into our sanitary sewer system, and what progress we're making in reducing the amount of non-revenue water, because there has been stuff that's been done, but these numbers look eerily familiar to what I saw in the early 90s. And it may be that that's a function of aging infrastructure, which we're dealing with, or more accurate reportage, more accurate billing, because up until 1994, there wasn't really any billing that we did locally. Water meters started going in 1994. So, Councillor Luberts, that's what we will have the staff do in terms of communicating this information to the public, and then we'll be follow-up information and reports from Infrastructure Services, of which you are a member. Any other questions with respect to the items that are still in the consent agenda? Now I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the recommendations in the reports in the consent agenda? None opposed, that is carried. So let's go back then to IS 23, 2016, and that is the Bernard Avenue, Thunder Bay Road storm drainage phases 3 and 4. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. As far as the new phases that will come into the Bernard Beach drainage, I did have some discussions with Mr. Walsh, and he did explain that it's not going to be any more water coming through. Matter of fact, if they put the proper ditching in there and proper drainage in there, the drainage itself will hold water. Right now, it's just water that's overground, and it's just going where it has to go. If we have the proper ditches and stuff in the Thunder Bay area, the ditches will actually hold some of the water, and then it goes in slower. But when Mr. Walsh made the comment that everybody understood that the beach would be constantly wet, I have an issue with that, because I remember when this all started coming through and they were putting in the drainage. And the one engineer constantly told them that it probably isn't going to work. There was too much clay in the soil. And the general public, and I remember being told that when the town is finished with this project, you will never know that anything is even there. And we are constantly reminded that something is there. And we were told that when the beach washes out, the dynamics of the beach and the water will replace it and different things, but it's weeks and weeks and weeks before anything gets fixed naturally, unless we go down there with sand and put sand down there. And so I agree that something needs to be done with the flooding in Thunder Bay, but you know, we ruined a perfectly good beach. And as well as we're going through this process and we're bringing the water in there and we're trying to slow the flow and we're trying to do this, we also need to have a plan in place as how are we going to fix this beach. And if we can't fix the beach, we need to have a plan as to, well, if the beach can't be fixed, we're going to have to reroute all of this, or we're going to have to do something different. We were promised one thing. I remember it clearly. You'll never know that we were here. And that's not the case. So I would like to see that as we're moving forward, if this year doesn't improve and it doesn't get better and it doesn't get fixed up so that people can go to the beach and lay a blanket down on the beach without it getting wet, then we need to look at an alternative to direct this water to a different outlet.
Councillor Butler.
Worship. The reason why this is so fresh in my mind today is because I received several phone calls over the weekend with respect to the beach. And some of the residents who are beach owners had their concerns to the future and admittedly said that actually some of their comments did contradict what you had said. Councillor Lubert, that when they attended some of the public meetings, they were alerted to the fact that there would be some seepage, and that would mean that the beach would be wet. They didn't understand it was going to be constantly, but they did understand that there were going to be periods of time where it would be wet. But they didn't think that it was going to extend so far on the beach. That was one of the things that was problematic for them this year. Although they did say it's a dry summer, it's not affecting them this year. But I do agree that I don't believe it should be rerouted. That would cost, I would think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Walsh, but that would cost an enormous amount of money, wouldn't it?
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong. There was a report last year on options looking at this beach before we proceeded on this. I'll have to look in our directory whether that came to council, but redirecting the water, the natural outlet is Six Mile Creek. It was the $10 million option.
Councillor Butler?
Thank you. Yes, Your Worship. And I recall that, Mr. Walsh. My question then would be, if it's a persistent problem, is there a different fix? Maybe, and maybe you can tell me, because I'm not quite understanding why there is such seepage. Maybe there's a way to dig deeper and to bring that piping lower so that it's not visible to the eyesight, and can go a little bit further into the waterway so that it's not affecting the beach itself. Is that a possibility?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, off the top of my head, we extended that pipe as far as we were comfortable with. The ice on Lake Erie, as we know, sometimes gets very very deep and very comprehensive. And if we extend the pipe any further, we were afraid it was going to get damaged through the winter, and we'd be coming back year after year to replace broken pipe. I'm not sure.
Is that then something that you can look into,
Mr. Walsh?
Without spending money on hiring the consulting engineer, this was done by Parsons Incorporated, the remedial measures, throwing a few thousand bucks at them to look at their design and see what alterations could be made, I'm not sure what we could do. I can't answer the question myself.
Anything further, Councillor Butler? Mr. Cooker, did you have any comment with respect to this predicament?
Through your worship to the councillors. What I'm hearing is that this beach, we've wrecked a very good beach, and I think what was done before my time and Mr. Walsh's. I think what we should be maybe looking at is finding an alternate outlet, be it west of this one or east of this one, maybe acquiring some property. I know the next road allowance is a long ways to the west and quite expensive, but if we could acquire some property for an easement with a pipe that would outlet to the lake that would not be near this location, and we would still have the use of the beach. Unfortunately, it would disturb where the new outlet is, but it wouldn't affect the public going to the beach.
Mr. Cookett, if we were to do that, would we do that before or after the works recommended in IS 23?
To you, Your Worship, I think these works need to proceed. It's a couple things to note, and it's been touched on. These pipes will act as storage, and we will be able to throttle down that water and use it as such. So they connect to the main sewer on Thunder Bay. And you can put a plate over that outlet and throttle it back and utilize those pipes for storage and even have them surcharge so some of the water comes up into the ditches and then it's released at a slower time as it if you didn't, and hopefully slowing down the wet beach. Those pipes are so flat that if you were to have a different outlet, they would still work because they're at a very, very minimal grade. You could find another location and it would still work. So I don't see an issue with that. I would advise moving forward with awarding this and getting these pipes in. They will not be abandoned in the future if we did find another location.
I guess, Mr. Cook, if I might, councillors, the concern that I have is, with all due respect to engineers, it was an engineering solution that has gotten us in a situation that we are now. So that there was a problem resolved. That was the flooding that residents in Thunder Bay were experiencing. I don't know that anybody fully expected the cost would include basically the significant damage to what had been a prime beach in Fort Erie. We're now going to be directing, if not more water, at least water faster to that site. I don't see how that makes things better. And I'm just very uncomfortable about the possibility that we're going to make matters worse. And I would think that I'm thinking that we should be considering what the backup plan might be if, in fact, that happens. And we should be considering, I think, the backup plan before we approve the contract. Because once we approve the contract, it's done. We've spent we've committed to spend $1 million, may end up with a beach that's as bad as it was before or worse. We're then looking at having to try to acquire land. Who knows how long that will take. I don't know whether any backup plan will emerge in 30 days, but this is an issue that we've been looking at for a long time, including the possibility of some type of stormwater management pond on property that we might have to acquire, simply to deal with the flow of water into this system. I don't think that I'm quite prepared to write off the beach at the bottom of Bernard, and I'm very uncomfortable about this, I must say. So I'm not, Mr. Cookett, I know that you want to move forward with this. I know that Mr. Walsh wants to move forward with this. I know that the residents in Thunder Bay don't want to have a flooding. So what's your best advice, Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Mayor, similar to Mr. Cookett's response, I think these pipes are needed to the overall drainage structure. And given the timing required for the alternate, we're probably looking at a year and a half or two before we come up with a final decision and get that designed, whatever it is. And the third year would be construction. So we're not delaying this for 30 days. We're delaying it for 3 years maybe. And I would suspect that regardless of what the alternate solution is, these pipes are still needed. So my recommendation is to go forward with construction. With regard to the price of the contract, we think we've got a great deal here by Oco Construction. I've dealt with several times in previous employment terms. They're a very good contractor to deal with. They're very capable. They're conscientious. You can see through the report that we have a significant positive variance on this report. So as I repeat myself now, my recommendation is to go forward with these two pipes.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Considering the delays that Mr. Walsh just cited, and the fact that we're dealing with a pretty flat table, and as my grandfather used to say, spilt milk runs slowly off a flat table. Mr. Jansen, can you give us a ballpark on what insurance claims the town has paid to residents of Thunder Bay for flooding, if any? Are we making any of the constituents whole in that area?
No, I don't have that information available. I'd have to look that up for you.
I think it's important, because if we are paying out a significant amount, a three-year delay might not be in our best interest. Just thought and something to consider. We may pay out more in compensation and to the citizens than...
Well, we're paying insurance premiums. We would have a deductible, and we're paying insurance premiums. with respect to any claims that are... did you have anything further, Councillor Nutt? Good point.
Not at this time.
So I note you're quite correct, Mr. Walsh. You indicate the report indicates that there's a variance of about $400,000, so that the contract price is significantly less than we had budgeted for. That additional money would typically go back or would remain in reserve, I presume. So I guess I would suggest that if this is passed, that we keep our eye on that $400,000 as part of the solution that I'm seriously concerned we're going to need to address. Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just a couple of comments on the beach being wet. I think that what the people were told at the time when the beach was going to be wet, they were never told that it would be constantly wet. They were told that in the event of a major storm, major water event, a rainfall or something, that the beach would be wet until the bladders in the system have drained off, and they would percolate and drain off, and then everything would be fine. And that's basically what they were told. But this is a constantly wet situation. And, I mean, this is before Councilor Mr. Cook and Mr. Walsh's time. As a councilor in the last term of council, I was told that actually the system was working better than expected, better than they expected it to work. And the beach was being washed out and it was constantly wet. So it's not something that is new to the fact that this system, it may be working when it comes to draining water, but it had to be fixed. We got a report from staff, from a consultant. They looked at it and said that there were some flaws in the system and that it needed to be fixed. So we did that work last fall. And that brings me back to the point where at the last term of council, we were told, no, there's nothing wrong with the system. It's working better than expected, but there were problems. So I agree with Mr. Cookett. Mr. Cookett says that given the fact that Thunder Bay is so flat, I forget what it was, the degree of slope in the main pipes, but I think it's only like 3% or something in the total. Is that 0.3%? So 0.3% going one way, when the water's there, if you have an outlet in a different position, in a different spot, all that will happen is there may be in that pipe at the other end, there may be at the bottom of the pipe, there may be some water that lays in there. But that's in a pipe underground. It won't hurt nothing. It won't hurt nothing if it freezes because it's not contained as one solid unit. It's just a piece of, it's just some water laying in the bottom of a pipe. That happens all over the town. That happens in all our ditches. It happens along the roadways. It happens everywhere. So having an alternate outlet somewhere else, and looking at your thoughts with the $400,000, Mayor Redekop, I think we can go forward with the project, but I think we need to take a serious look at getting this beach so that people don't know that what's there is there. That's what they were told. After the event is over, you won't know. And just to add to that, they were also told that these major storm events would happen once, maybe twice a year. And we can all agree that it's more than once or twice a year that we have a problem at the beach. So those are my comments, and I'll support the report for this evening, but I think we need to look at the alternates.
Councilor Nutt?
Thank you, Your Worship. Just some thoughts on this. I'm torn to supporting it because I don't want to see people get flooded out. It's a terrible experience. I've had it happen to me where my basement's been flooded out. It's absolutely stressful and horrendous. So I empathize with the people and I feel for them. I don't want them to be flooded out. What I don't want us to proceed is doing a work that I would be maybe more comfortable with even delaying this for until August, maybe just a couple weeks, and getting the framework for an alternative in case this does not work. Can we identify land? What are our options for a storm winter? Give staff some time to do some quick research and kind of frame this up. I'm just torn right now. I don't want the people to have flooded basements, but it is a drier summer so far. Knock on wood, that keeps going, but just try and allow the staff, a little more time. Or I'm okay with proceeding, but that we give direction as well, that the town come back as quickly as possible, have staff work on some type of backup alternative in the event that this does not do as it's supposed to.
Thank you. Councillor Butler, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to see the project proceed only because there are many residents who are still underwater, and I'd like to see that cleared up. But I do agree with Councillor Nutt, and I'm prepared to support this. I'd like to see also, though, us spend a few thousand dollars to get that engineer's report or that consultant's report to see what the alternatives could be, and utilize that $400,000 as the mayor had referenced as part of the solution going forward, seeing that this particular project is not going to affect the outcome of the beach.
That being the case, I think that it would be appropriate for there to be an amendment to the recommendations to include a paragraph, as Councillor Nutt has suggested, that staff be given direction to advise council on the alternatives, on an alternative backup plan, after they've had an opportunity to do some research, and not a year and a half from now, not 9 months from now, but a relatively near time frame, so that we may be able to get through this summer, because there may not be a lot of rain this summer. So we might be fine this summer, but we really need to have a backup plan. So, Councillor Nutt, if you would like to move that type of, how quickly we forget. Councillor Nutt, if you'd like to move an amendment to add a provision to this report, a recommendation to this report, that would.
Certainly, Your Worship. I'd like to move that we add a paragraph that asks staff to research a viable solution in the most permanent way that allows us to proceed with moving this forward, and we have a viable backup plan.
How about you're asking staff to provide council with viable alternatives in the event drainage problems persist at the Bernard Beach?
Very well worded.
Welcome. Madam Clerk, do you have that?
Can you read the amendment before we vote on it? Thank you.
Council directs staff to research viable alternatives in the event drainage problems persist.
At Bernard Beach. Councillor Butler, did you have your hand up? Okay, Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just to understand that, a viable alternative, but I don't know that we have to completely abandon the Bernard Beach outlet and go to an alternate. I think an additional maybe outlet would be more appropriate than an alternate, because it sounds to me like you're going to move it off the Bernard Beach. If there's less water, it may work a lot better, and then we can slow it down. Then we won't have those problems, and we can still maintain the same outlet. And then when it comes to the 0.3% grade, you won't have that water laying in the pipes at the end of the line. That system will still be working, and the extra unit will take on any excess.
Right. Yeah, so, I don't anticipate that staff is going to suggest that we abandon the millions of dollars in work that we've done to set up this particular drainage system, but we do need to have some type of alternative plan to redirect some of the water if that's necessary.
Yeah, but would it be an alternative or would it be an additional plan? additional drainage outlet?
Well,
how would staff prefer?
Yeah, how would you, Mr. Walsh, how would you like it worded, since you're going to end up having to
carry this? The wording as the clerk has it right now is sufficient.
Anyone else on this issue? Councillor Becerra, I know I kept looking to my left and I thought maybe you might want to weigh in.
No worries. I know that this amendment is specific to Bernard Beach, and I appreciate that given the report that we're considering, but we should always keep in mind that we have a number of these stormwater outlets all along our coast. And just off the top of my head, I wrote down Beachview, Birdie Bay, and Waverly, which are all subject to this type of erosion, not necessarily to this degree. And given that those spaces are sometimes wider in their area, it doesn't have that much of a predicament that's placed on it. But I'm hoping that we remember this conversation tonight when we bring back our waterfront strategy, because first and foremost, we should be looking at acquisition of additional lands. You only have as many options as you have available property to pursue those options. And if we can start keying in on some key sites, and this will be the start of that, but looking at our coast in its entirety, and where is it strategic that we start investing to line up some of these sites to either divert the water or create additional waterfront for our residents so that the areas currently impacted by stormwater outflow is minimized because they have more space to move. So I just mention that now in preparation for when we deal with our waterfront strategy at some point later on. Thank you.
Okay, have we talked this one out? Then I'll call the question on the amendment. Did you want that read again? Everybody's good? Okay, on the amendment that was put forth by Councillor Nutt, all those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. So with respect to the report and the recommendations as amended, all those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. That was easy. Okay, so that takes us then to the final report in the consent agenda, and that's PDS 57-2016. And Councillor McDermott, may I hand the chair to you then, because I have a conflict with respect to this. And once that report has been dealt with, then you can move right into Planning and Development Services.
So could I have a motion on PDS 57-2016? Any comments or questions? Favor? Carry. So this will open Planning and Development Services. We have no presentations and delegations. I have a mover for PDS 51-2016, the Stevensville Secondary Plan. Councillor Nutt. Are there any comments or questions? Your Worship?
Yes. Chair, on page 10 of the report, which is part of a letter from the Ministry of Municipal Affairs, there's a reference to, so it's on page 10, it's about the middle of the page, and the comments are, sorry, it's at the bottom of the page, recommendations. Recommend that the position that's outlined be advanced through other means, strategic plan, council resolution, letter to the MTO. And I'm wondering whether this council, we have passed a resolution, I believe, with respect to moving this corridor, transportation corridor north. I'm just wondering if the staff thinks that there's something further that we should be doing by way of resolution or communication to the ministry to let them know what our views are in connection with this corridor.
Mr. Brady?
Through to the mayor. I don't think there's anything additional that needs to be done. We've certainly, as a staff, made it very, very clear that we believe that this corridor needs to be adjusted. The region agrees with us in terms of dealing with that, and they're trying to take a stronger position with the province on it. MTO, on the other hand, is not moving very quickly. I don't know when, and neither does the region, when the actual corridor will be redefined by MTO. I can tell you that the GE plant that was approved in Welland was within the corridor, and there was no issue at that point in time. If council wishes to identify another resolution, we can certainly take it forward. But what I'd like to do is continue to push this through the official plan process. That's why we're deferring this, or we're recommending that it be deferred this evening. Because while all those other methods that municipal affairs has identified are fine, the one that really stands up in court is the official plan. And they're well aware of that. So I think it's important that we use that mechanism of the official plan to push this issue and to keep it moving forward.
Thank you.
Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. Could I have a mover on PDS 59-2016? Councillor Butler? Comments or questions? Worship?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just let me get to my report. I'm just wondering if I could get an explanation with respect to the reference to how the traffic is going to flow on page 6. There's an six of the report. There's an indication of traffic flows from the subdivision out to Black Creek Road, Netherby Road. And this isn't, how's that going to work?
Mr. Brady? Ms. Dawson?
Me? Hello? Okay. So if you look at the plan itself, so they talk about the comments on the traffic study were in relation to the Regional Road 25, which is Netherby Road. Originally what happened was the intersection, if you look at your plan in Appendix 2, the intersection at Street D and Netherby Road, there was a concern there from the region as well as discussion in the traffic impact study on an in and out, a right in, right out. They've now moved that intersection closer to the creek, which has now allowed them to have both access in and out. Now on page 6 of that report, which you were referring to, talks about a reduction in speed limit of 60 kilometers per hour. So that would be, again, this is just referring to Netherby Road. And then there was also discussion on Black Creek Road. At the time, that was when we had the intersection of Street A going out to Black Creek. That's now been removed. So there will be no connection out to Black Creek. Originally, that's what was proposed, and that's what the traffic study considered at that time. The intersection of Netherby and Street B, it operates as a single inbound, outbound with a stop control. It's just a stop sign control at that intersection. And same with Street D and, as I said, Netherby Road. It'll be an in and out controlled both ways with directions. And there's reference, like I said, of parking restrictions on Black Creek Road from Street B, which again has Street B is now gone from that access point.
And if I might, Mr. Chair, is it anticipated that Street C is going to go all the way through?
Street C will go all the way through to Baker and just up to the park. We'll end at the park, at the terminus of the park.
Right, but it's going to provide alternate access through that subdivision.
Yes, to the north portion.
So it will cross the creek.
It will cross the creek. That's correct.
And
might. On page 10 of the package, I had a question with respect to the, so the municipality is going to be paying for some additional parkland?
That's correct. Currently they're providing 6.4%. We can only accept 5%, so we have to purchase the additional 1.40%.
And do we know what that's going to cost yet?
It's based on fair market value, so we would assess that at the time when we're about to purchase the remainder.
Okay, so that would be that would be 1.4% of 40 acres or whatever the total.
Yeah, the total size is 14 hectares is the total land area.
Right, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any further questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed, abstaining? Carried. That brings us to PDS 60-2016, River Trail Extension Estates.
So moved.
Any comments or questions, Your Worship?
Yes, just looking at the report and Appendix 1, I take it the external park that is going to be worked on by the developer is this park immediately to the east? That bends around, or that River Trail bends around?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, to the mayor. Yes, that's correct. The stormwater pond will occupy a portion of the existing park there, and there will be a trail that's constructed around the storm pond. And various other plantings going on there.
I see. And was there any reason why a road wasn't? My recollection is, and Councillor Nutt would have a better recollection, there's a little road around that park. That's a circular road.
It's not a road. It's a walking path.
Really? People seem to drive on it. Okay, I'm not going to say anything further. I'm not going to amplify what you just said because I find that gets me into trouble. Then I had one other technical question, and it has to do with right. Yes. I see. That's a very good explanation. So we've been advised that at one time it was a road because there was a ballpark there, but now it's well recognized in the neighborhood as a walking path. On page 17 of the package, there was a reference to there being a need to amend the subdivision agreement, depending on what happens with respect to stages 2 and 3. So I'm looking specifically at condition 10, D, and F. Maybe I could just get some clarification. I'm just wondering why there would need to be an amending agreement.
At this time, the approval we're seeking is for all the stages. However, in the event, the developer's intent is to start with stage 1. If we go a couple years down the road where an amendment needs to be made to the financial securities or any of those types of things, then an amending agreement would be necessary to capture the change. Construction costs and securities.
All right, and so therefore that has to be a condition that the developer is aware of. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Any further questions? All in favor? Carried. So we'll move to PDS 61-2016. Councillor Butler, comments or questions? All in favor? Carried. And PDS 62-2016. Can we get a mover? Councilor Butler. Comments or questions? Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just one question here on page 3 of the report. 4.713. It talks about the town's official plan. And then it says residential intensification, infill development, and redevelopment shall be encouraged in urban areas that have sufficient existing or planned infrastructure. And does the area provide proper additional parking to meet the word sufficient?
Mr. Carnahan?
Through you, Mr. Chair, to Councillor Lubberts. All lots will have sufficient area on them to accommodate not one but two parking spaces for the residents that occupy them. So that we've included special zoning provisions which ensure that two times the minimum zoning requirement for parking can be accommodated on each lot. So the answer to your question is yes, more than
sufficient. On each lot that is there, but additional, like, I think it was, the SEER doesn't say anything about the lots, it just says have sufficient existing or planned infrastructure, and I think part of the infrastructure would be parking, would it not be?
Well,
additional
through,
parking?
Through you, Mr. Chair, to Councillor Lubberts, I think the intent of this policy is more around municipal infrastructure, such as sewers, water mains, and roadways, more than it is on-site parking infrastructure. So the answer to your question is this application's been reviewed by our in-house planning department engineering review staff member, and he hasn't indicated that there's any reason to believe there's insufficient water, sewer, or road infrastructure to accommodate these three lots.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Just to follow up on that there, just a comment on the report itself. Having read the report, I still, I'm going to stand behind what I said at the when we had our public meeting. And, you know, the residents in the area are concerned about, you know, the traffic. They're concerned about a variety of different things and pushing everybody into, you know, smaller lots. We just went through an amendment, and I keep bringing this up, to our zoning and our setbacks, and we said we need something that's going to be definite, and this is what we're going to stick by. And if you look at the three lots that they want to create, again, we're going to have to make all kinds of amendments to the zoning bylaws so that they can meet the setback rules. And in my opinion, we should leave the setbacks the way they are, and that would constitute this gentleman having to go with his two lots. And I'm not prepared to support giving him a third lot on the property. So those are my comments.
Any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed, if any? Was
Mr. Chair, just a point of order. I don't believe that we have done this previously in this term of council, but I'm wondering if through you, with your consent, if we could ask a member of planning to advise council just to reaffirm what our second opinion clause is and next steps after this.
Thank you. Mr. Brady?
The through you to Councillor Stephen. Second opinion clause is something which council might want to consider prior to a vote where they defeat a planning recommendation. In this particular case, my understanding is that this recommendation has been defeated. So what council may wish to do is they may wish to direct staff to seek a second planning opinion, or legal staff to seek a second planning opinion, as the case may be, and then have that opinion brought back to council at a future date.
Your Worship?
Well, that's a little problematic, and it's problematic because we've now, if we knew in advance that it was going to be defeated, then we could table it, and we could request a second opinion to confirm what our staff has said. But at this stage of the game, this has now been defeated, and it's up to the owner of the property to appeal to the OMB if he wishes. And if he does, then council can determine whether it wants to hire a planner to support the position of the council, which is at odds with the position of the staff. But I think until such time as we know whether there's an appeal, I don't know that it's prudent for us to be doing anything. Just my view.
To Councillor Lubberts. Councillor Passero, do you have any thoughts? That was your question, so I just wanted to know if you had any comments on that.
My follow-up question, Mr. Brady, would be what would be the benefits in staff eyes as far as the conversation council will need to have either now or further as to going for a second opinion now versus waiting for to see how the process plays out?
Brady?
The applicant has a decision to make. The applicant may decide to appeal this to the Ontario Municipal Board, which is their right to do, or they may wish to simply stand by council's decision. If they appeal the matter to the Ontario Municipal Board, then, as the mayor has pointed out, the council may want to consider at that point whether they want to seek an independent opinion. If council decides not to seek an independent decision or opinion, that's fine. And then what will happen is that there will be a board hearing and the matter will be adjudicated.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Brady. I'm comfortable waiting to see how this process plays out. I mean, we do have the option before us for a motion to reconsider to bring this back and pursue something, but I'm not prepared to do that as somebody who voted on the prevailing side tonight. I'd like to see how this process plays out on the side of the applicant, and we'll go from there.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to comment on the second opinion, it's been my understanding since I've been a counselor that the second opinion applies to if there's an appeal to the OMB, then we would have to move forward with a second opinion because our staff has given their opinion. But we need to get some clarification after the fact because I'm reading this report and it says that staff doesn't support the setback, and I mean, if you're not supportive of a setback, then you're not supportive of a setback. But I don't think that it's something that we get before the OMB.
Yeah, point of order, Mr. Chair. I think Councillor Passero's request for clarification of that second opinion clause is one thing, but now we're kind of drifting back into discussing a report that's already been dealt with. I think we need to move on. Already dealt with this report.
Okay, so we'll move on to new business inquiries. Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Chair McDermott. I have a question to Mr. Brady. I had a few constituents call me over the weekend with respect to some fencing that's going up on North Shore Road, and I wondered if you could help me figure this out. It's my understanding that they do not require a permit for fencing if it's 6 feet and below, correct?
Mr. Brady?
To Councillor Butler, you do not require a permit to build a fence as long as the fence that you're building is within the parameters that are provided. That's correct.
Okay. And so if this fence goes further than the 100-year flood line, is that permissible?
Mr. Brady?
Again, through to Councillor Butler, when you are in a hazard land, which is the 100-year flood line or on the beach, the provision is that the fence is to be temporary.
If the fence is a permanent structure, what, I'm trying to find the right word, but what steps can residents take?
Again, to Councillor Butler, if the residents are concerned that the fence that is being built within the hazard area appears to be permanent, they can contact the bylaw enforcement and ask them to inspect the site.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. His Worship touched on it earlier, and I wanted to bring it up tonight under new business as well. Specifically tonight, it came up regarding PDS 61 or 780 Ridge Road North, but it's the fact that we go on to a summer schedule as council and for staff. And I know that tonight, as well as the last meeting, we added some things as part of a special council meeting. I'm hoping that that can just become part of how we do things. The last thing I ever want someone to be told while they're here is, well, we have to delay that 2 weeks because council's on summer schedule. I would just expect from this point on that if it's a matter that's time sensitive or that we could speed something up and still meet any notice or appeal periods that are mandated, that it would automatically appear on a special council agenda following a council and committee agenda and not having those residents wait 2 or sometimes 3 weeks, depending on if there's a fifth Monday of the month or not. Just my comments going forward, and hopefully staff could take those into consideration.
Thank you. Anything else? Then we'll move on to the business status report. Are there any questions of that? Seeing none, that's it for planning and development.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. That takes us to infrastructure services, and that is Councillor Lubberts, because the chair is not here.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Infrastructure services is now in session. We have no presentations or delegations, and we have a report, IS-22-2016. Advancement of cash capital projects to design in 2016. So moved by Councillor Nutt. That report is now on the floor. Is there any comments or questions? Mayor Redekop?
Just the interesting observation, and there may be more projects that we're not aware of, but Table 1 doesn't make reference to any projects that were proposed to be designed in 2019 and constructed in 2020. Was there a reason for that?
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Mr. Chair, without looking at our comprehensive project list, my suspicion is there weren't many big hit projects in those years.
Mayor Redekop?
So if we're able to secure some federal and provincial funding to accelerate the construction of some of these projects that we're going to be advancing the design on, that means by definition we'd be able to move other projects up on our capital projects list, would we not?
That is the intent.
Any other comments or questions? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you. Through you to Mr. Walsh, thank you very much for providing this information. I know I've been pestering you for it for quite some time. I just, to the mayor's point, Table 2, is reflective of projects that were to be constructed in 18 and 19. But again, to her, to his point, it only goes to construction year 2024. Do we not have anything planned beyond that? I know that the roads we're looking at, we can go 50 years out, but I'd really like to see a, maybe a 10-year cycle to up this from $28 million to well into the 30s, possibly even in the 40s. With the federal government's strong commitment to infrastructure, the more projects we have that are shovel-ready on the shelf, ready to go, I think the better position we're in when we apply to grants and ask for additional funding.
Who else?
Through you, Mr. Chair, certainly there are more projects we can advance. Given the resources we have upstairs with respect to staffing and time commitments spent on projects already, we felt it prudent to advance the or recommend advancement of the four projects noted here, five. And if more funding becomes available, certainly we'll take another crack at it.
Again, thank you very much for all your hard work on putting this together. It's good to see and gives me some relief that we're taking the asset management plan seriously and that we are advancing as much of that to close the gap as possible on the infrastructure side.
Anybody else? Any further comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That brings us to new business or inquiries, or any new business or any inquiries. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair Luberts. This question is for Mr. Walsh, and I was wondering if you could tell me, when are we going to get a report with respect to information gathered for the bus route?
Mr. Walsh.
The consultant study is underway right now. We're in the closing throes of a public consultation process, public survey. Those the finishing touches on the report, including those the survey results, will be brought forward likely in for the September IS meeting.
Thank you.
Any other inquiries? Seeing none, that moves us to the business status report. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, infrastructure services is now in recess. I'll turn the chair back over to Mayor Redekop.
Thank you very much, Councillor Luberts. That takes us to corporate and community services. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. No presentations or delegations tonight. Our first report, CAO07/LC09-2016, is land matters. We have a conflict from Councillor Luberts, so we're going to actually do two recommendations to accommodate that. I'd be looking for a mover for the first recommendation, which will read that Council approves the June 22nd, 2016 Land Committee meeting minutes attached as Appendix 1, save and accept Item 1, response to request for quote for the sale of part of Princeton Avenue, and further, that Council approves the recommended tasks as outlined in Appendix 2, save and accept recommended task number 1, response to request for quote for the sale of part of Princeton Avenue.
I'll move that, Councillor Passero. It's actually Councillor Butler that has the conflict.
I'm sorry, who did I say?
Luberts.
Luberts, my apologies.
I'll declare a conflict.
I think based on tonight, rather than have these facing the audience, we should face them towards ourselves. Thank you for that correction. So that's been moved. Comments or questions on that first recommendation? Seeing none, all in favor? That's carried. Recommendation number 2. Looking for a mover that Council approves Item 1 of the June 22nd, 2016 Land Committee meeting minutes attached as Appendix 1, response to request for quote for the sale of part of Princeton Avenue, and further, that Council approves recommended task number 1 as outlined in Appendix 2, response to request for quote for the sale of part of Princeton Avenue. Councillor Nutt, that's been moved. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? That's carried. Takes us to CAO08-2016, Planning and Development Services Staff Compliments. A mover for that recommendation, Councillor McDermott. Comments or questions? His Worship.
On page 4 of the report, there's a reference to the alternative sources for the for covering the 2016 component of this new employee when hired. And I don't know whether the staff is expecting to receive some clarification from us. I would have assumed that it would come from the building permit surplus reserve fund, since this is relating specifically to permit and inspection services.
Mr. Jansen, financial staffing implications, what is our plan and what are you seeking for as far as direction from council tonight?
Through the councillor, or to the councillor, the building permit surplus fund that had funds allocated to it last year, I believe planning and development services may wish to speak to that, because there were thoughts on how some of those funds may be used in terms of alternate efficiencies with system software upgrades and things like that. Did the report itself have the recommendation of a funding source? Is that maybe the issue here? Yeah.
No, at the bottom of page 4.
Right. I think it would be staff's recommendation, and the CAO can correct me, but that the funding, given that there was an intended use for that, that the funding be from the general levy rate stabilization reserve.
Your Worship.
So does staff need direction on that? It's not part of the recommendations, but I'm wondering.
Yeah, the second that, Mr. Jansen, just reads a budget amendment. It doesn't speak to the source of the funding.
Yes, it would be my preference if that could be explicit in there, the source of the funding.
Then I would move that amendment, Chair.
Oh, His Worship has put an amendment to the second that, which would now read that Council authorizes a budget amendment in accordance with the budget policy to fund the position for the remainder of 2016, with those funds coming from the General Levy Rate Stabilization Reserve Fund.
Correct.
Comments or questions to that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor? That's carried back to the report as amended. Your Worship, you still have the floor.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Other comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? That's carried. New business or inquiry specific to corporate and community services. Councillor Nutt and then Councillor Butler.
Thank you. Through you, Councillor Passero, to Mr. Cookett. We've seen rapid growth over the last 18 months in the number of permit requests and having to hire another building inspector. I'd like to put the bug in your ear right now to source with Mr. Davis and have some meetings concerning improvement in technology. Currently, right now, I know that when our staff goes out, they do not carry for example, an iPad where they could have access to documentation, and the creation of an online repository would allow our staff to work in a more efficient manner because they could make the site notes while there and then just save it to the repository, and then bang, everything's done. And I think that our builders, developers, and everybody would appreciate that, because the comments would then be noted on the files immediately.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. I can add that something like that is in the works. I know that IT is currently working with the fire departments and with our inspectors to achieve a similar type of design, and I believe that the building department is next. Mr. Brady, if you could add to those comments.
Certainly, I'd be happy to do so. Yes, we're definitely looking at having tablets out to all of our building inspectors this year. My understanding is that there's a back order on the one that IT would like to try. I've asked them to try to get that. If we can't get that back ordered, let's get on with this, because we desperately need to join the 20th century in terms of our recording in the field. So, I meant 20th. So it is intended that there will be a report brought back in, I'm hoping, late summer, early fall, with recommendations on tablets for the building inspectors.
Are you suggesting the tablets they currently have you need to chisel?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Brady. Councillor Nutt, anything further? Thank you. Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Chair Passero. This question is for Mr. Jansen. Are we still on track to have a presentation with respect to MPAC and how it's going to affect our constituents in the town of Fort Erie and how we move forward with our budget?
Thank you, Councillor Butler. We are. We actually received a preview of those presentations during our last corporate services meeting. Mr. Jansen, what is the date that MPAC has invited to council?
Through the councillor to Councillor Butler, they are scheduled for next Monday night. They have a 10-minute presentation along with a video that we've asked them to share. I'll be sending it out in advance as well to the councillors once we receive their presentation.
And we've also requested that staff post it to the website shortly after. It is very informative and I think a good communication piece for us to use.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
It's there now if you'd like to direct anybody. Yep. Other comments or questions under new business or inquiries? Seeing none, comments related to the business status reports? Seeing none, corporate and community services is in recess. I'll turn the chair back to his worship.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Any meetings anyone wishes to apprise council of? If not, then we need a resolution to move into closed session to discuss the sale of land, 5 acres in the Fort Erie Business Park. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott, any questions or comments on that? All in favor? Sorry, Councillor Liberts. Now we're going to go into closed session for this, and this is still part of the council and committee meeting. We're going to come back and then we'll do the special council meeting. So all those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried. And that's at 8:13. All right, so we're back in the council chambers. Would someone like to move that we rise and reconvene from closed session at 8:26 without report? Councillor Butler? Any questions or comments on that? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Motion to adjourn, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, the council adjourns at 8:26 p.m. to reconvene into...
That's for the special council meeting. We only need to...
8:26 to reconvene in our special council meeting.
Perfect. All those in favor? That's carried.